A call to live, a call to die, a call to spend your life for Jesus, here and around the world till he returns. These are the stories and conversations about God's mission and the people dedicating their life to it. I'm your host, Paul Aiken, Provost and Professor of Missions at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Amazon to the Himalayas. This is Amazon to the Himalayas podcast. I'm your host, Paul Aiken. In today's episode, we're going to be talking and learning about one of the most utilized and well-known resources in the missions world, the Jesus Film. The Jesus Film is a ministry of Crew, and since 1979, the Jesus Film has been translated into more than 2,000 languages. Millions of people have watched, and hundreds of millions of people have made decisions to follow Christ. I'm talking today with Josh Newell, who is the executive director of the Jesus Film. Josh has served for over 20 years with the Jesus Film Project and other crew-related ministries around the world. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
Yeah, why don't we just start with some of the background as it relates to the Jesus Film? You know, how did it get started? Why did it get started? What was the original goal and purpose of this film?
Oh, yeah. So, well, as you mentioned, Jesus Film is part of Crew, and Crew Campus Crusade for Christ was founded by Dr. Bright in the 50s. He had a vision from the Lord to create a movie about Jesus, and it took 25 years for that vision to become reality. But what he wanted to see happen was that there'd be this movie that would be able to simply tell the story of Jesus so that everyone in the whole world would watch this movie and then come to know Jesus. So that was the plan. And in 1979, the movie actually got made and was launched, and it had some success in the U.S., meaning that people came to watch it in theaters. But the real success happened when the movie began to be translated into other languages. And Tagalog and Arabic were amongst the first languages. And that's when national ministries and missionaries started to take the film and to show the Jesus Film all around the country. I was with one of those Filipino leaders last week who told me that he went from top to bottom of the Philippines 7 different times using the Jesus Film in all kinds of creative different ways of using it with church events and outreaches, athletic things and concerts. The whole point was that lifting up Jesus would cause people to have an encounter with him, and then you could begin discipleship from those Jesus Film showings. And so that was the strategy. And really, in essence, that's been the strategy of the Jesus Film for 45 years now.
Okay. Wow. I want you to tell us a little bit about the film itself. So it kind of goes back to 79, you know, release in theaters. What stories from Jesus' life? What's it based on? You know, what was some of the background related to the film itself in that way?
The Campus Crusade and Warner Brothers produced it kind of jointly, with the idea that if you took the Gospel of Luke and brought that to life, then it would be the simple way to share Jesus with an unknowledgeable audience. So that was the idea. Dr. Luke wrote to the Gentiles, right? So taking that script and really working from the gospel and turning it into a script of a movie was a word-for-word almost experience, because every word that Jesus speaks is scripture. And then there's some narration that's built in to help move the movie along. But it's really the Gospel of Luke come to life on film. And so that's how it was produced and launched in 1979. And like I said, it was a collaborative effort with Warner Brothers. And pretty soon after that, we started working with Bible translators because it was based off of the Gospel of Luke, and that's how it began to be translated into all these different languages.
Okay. So it was filmed in 79. Now we're in 2024. Has there been any thought? I'm sure there's been conversation thought along these lines of, hey, you know, maybe it's time for like a refresh or an update, or can you give us any background on kind of how some of those conversations have played out?
Oh, yeah. I stepped into this role 5 years ago, and day one, the first question that I got from different ministry partners that we had is like, hey, when are you redoing this thing? It's great, but, you know, it's tough to do a reshoot of the Jesus Film in Israel, which is where it was shot on location these days. So that was never going to happen. But a few years ago, we began a project to take the Jesus Film and animate it. And so that's what we're working on right now. And working towards 2025, when we're going to, God willing, release the animated version of the Jesus Film. And it'll be available in all the 2,100 plus languages that the Jesus Film is existing in currently. But for a new generation, this and the next generation. So we're pretty excited about that. And every time that I get the question now, then I have an answer.
That's good. Yeah, it's very good. You know, anytime you develop a resource that you desire to be used, you know, not only in kind of one location around the world, but literally you want it to be a global resource around the world, the question of distribution always comes up. So can you talk some about maybe how is the film distributed? How do you eventually kind of get it out, get it into people's hands, you know, put it before their eyes? What does that look like?
Well, it started out where we would send out our own film teams, and two by two, people would go into unreached villages. So think of people who, you know, don't have electricity, don't have running water. This is the first movie that they're ever going to see. And it's a movie about Jesus in their own heart language. And so very pioneering type of activity. And as we went, then churches would start to pop up. Campus Crusade for Christ, we're not a church planting organization, at least we weren't then. And so we'd have to start partnering with the body of Christ from all expressions, from all stripes and traditions of the body of Christ. Whoever was going to be willing to do the discipleship afterwards, we started to work with. And because when you show the Jesus film, the Lord has encounters with people. Mm-hmm. It's not just a movie, it's Jesus. And so that's really the distribution plan. Then that has evolved over time to where more partners and churches and organizations use the Jesus film than Campus Crusade Crew does. 90% of all of what we see is all the views and indicated decisions and churches planted. Those are happening through denominations or other organizations and individuals that are taking the gospel out. And so it's really been this transfer of ownership. It's a tool for the body of Christ. And, you know, you pair that with what we have now in the digital world with, we have apps and websites and YouTubes and basically any of the ways that you can imagine media getting out there, we're helping to promote, foster, and develop.
That's good. You mentioned this earlier, kind of working on kind of a new animated version. You've talked about kind of the 2,100 languages that it's been translated into. Are there more languages that you guys are working on? And what is the scope of that? What does that look like kind of moving forward as you guys think through continuing to try to get it distributed to more and more people?
Yeah, we're on the same path that Bible translation in that community is on. So by 2033, there's a certain number, there's hundreds more to go. The idea is that we want to provide a heart language tool for every needed language. There's 7,000 languages that are spoken in the world. And we'll do as many as it takes to have people clearly understand the word of God in their own language. And that's why we partner really closely with Bible translators, and our job won't be done for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
Do you hunger for deeper missiological understanding and the ability to solve some of the most challenging problems facing missionaries today? The Doctor of Missiology program at Southern Seminary equips you to do just that. Whether you're planting churches, leading missions, or shaping future leaders, the DMIS empowers you to make a gospel impact. In this cohort-based program, you'll gain advanced knowledge, expert mentoring, and hands-on field experience, all while preparing you to lead in cross-cultural contexts. To learn more about this program, visit sbts.edu/dmiss.
Can you talk some about maybe what the translation process kind of looks like? I mean, how do you guys go about identifying those people who are going to be able to help in that? Is that something where you kind of outsource to other organizations? Kind of how do you guys think through the translation process?
Yeah, it's a joint effort with Bible translation communities because we can't do the script of the Jesus film unless the Gospel of Luke has been translated. And so organizations like Wycliffe, Seed Company, you name it, we've worked on a partnership where if there's no scripture that exists in a people group, then they start with the Gospel of Luke. And that way you get kind of a two for one. You get the Word of God and you get the movie as well. And so that's kind of the process. When it comes down to like identifying and prioritizing, our viewpoint is that whoever we work with Joshua Project and identify people groups, and we look to see where are the most unreached people living and what languages do they speak. We then we work with other agencies on this research project, and we have a list that we prioritized and we kind of work that list together.
Okay, that's good. You mentioned kind of early on in 79 when the movie was filmed. It was released in theaters. So people would walk into a movie theater, watch it on a big screen. You know, eventually there was more adaptations. You had VHS, then you have DVD, you know, and you've already kind of alluded to some of this, but yeah, maybe talk to us a little bit about kind of the variety of ways maybe that it's like shown today. I mean, I can give one quick story. I was on a trip probably a decade ago in southwestern India, South Asia. Somebody had given me a phone. One of the local missionaries there had given me a phone that on the end of the phone had a little projector that kind of came out of the top of the phone. And so we were literally going village by village. I would get into people's homes and I was taking this phone out and I would shoot the Jesus film up on their wall, just in a bedroom. And we'd watch, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes to be able to kind of stimulate some conversation and those kinds of things. So can you talk some about just the myriad of ways, mediums, I guess, that the film is shown today?
Yeah, I don't think too many VHS tapes are being shown, but that was, you know, basically every advance in technology is where we've created pathways for the Jesus film to be students in China in their dorm room watching it on a laptop, a phone that projects on the side of a screen, like you just said, or in subways, people, or in Ubers. I was just in an Uber the other day sharing the Jesus film and the gospel with my Uber driver. And, you know, he's driving, I'm playing the Jesus film in his ear, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's my language. And so I'm like, hey, let me send this thing to you. And then to this disintermediated age that we live in right now, meaning that you don't need always somebody to show it to you. The Jesus film is at the point of search. People are searching, how do I know God? Who is Jesus? What are morals? You know, those type of search requests, if you Google them, will likely lead you to the story of Jesus. And so people are Googling and finding the Lord in this day and age as well. And we're looking down the road at AR or augmented reality, virtual reality, things like the metaverse. These are emerging places. Not everybody's going to have the technology for it, but we're working together with other partners to provide a gospel sharing experience for when those technologies become more prevalent.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. You know, you mentioned earlier about the people who kind of watch. And then, you know, the big question is always, okay, what does the follow-up kind of process look like? And kind of how do you guys think through that with local churches, with local partners on the ground? Yeah. So can you talk some about maybe the follow-up and discipleship process kind of post people watching the video and the film?
Yeah, I think that is really crucial because the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus shows us that you got to sow broadly. And the word of God is going to fall on all these different soils, but then they'll sprout up. And the key difference between these soils is who you have in community and of course, the listening heart and the work of the Holy Spirit. But to the extent that we can take ownership of that process, we need to partner with all the different expressions of the body of Christ because this is all of our commission. We've all been, you know, commissioned to take the word of God to the places that haven't received it before. So it's really important that we work in the context of partnership and the most local expression of partnership as well. So that means the local church in a given country, in South India, like you were, and I'm sure you were working in the context of a local church there or people that had that mindset. And so evangelism is only effective to the extent that you can see it happen again. And we want to be a part of that process. And a quick little example of that is I was in the backseat of a 5-hour bus ride down to the southern border of Ethiopia a couple of years ago with a church planter. And we're going to show the Jesus film to this unreached tribe called the Dasenach. And it's one of those tribes that doesn't have electricity, doesn't have anything in terms of modern convenience. They're a warring tribe. And so, you know, this is pioneering church planting activity. And so I asked, you know, why are you showing the Jesus film? Because this is, you could do a lot of things. You could, you know, you could go in, you could preach and those things. He said, the thing about the Jesus film that we like is that every time you show it, a church starts. Hmm. And their methodology for this group was to go in, show the Jesus film, and you have 1,000 people that gather around watching this movie. And instantly, after the movie's done, you can bring them to a point of, hey, who's interested in learning more? Who is ready to even receive Jesus right now by an act of faith? And you have that indicator. And so you group very quickly and set the stage for the next day showing up and say, hey, we're going to learn more. And we're going to do this together in the context of a group in a community. And so that's how a lot of the discipleship and multiplication takes place is you have to have that intentional just-in-time type of strategy for going to the outermost places.
Yeah, that's good. You know, you just kind of alluded to one of the maybe more recent stories, but obviously we talked a lot about kind of historically what's happened since 1979, how many people have watched it, all of those kinds of things. But one of the things I know our listeners always love to hear, Josh, is what's happening today, what's happened in the last month, what's happened in the last 3 months, 6 months. I would love, you know, I'm sure you can't tell us everything because you get to hear a lot of cool things about the ways that this resource is being utilized around the world. But can you tell us something maybe you've heard over the last 3-6 months that has just been particularly encouraging to you in terms of a story about how this is being used around the world?
Oh, yeah. One couple of my favorites. So I'll share one that you can stop me. And then if we have time, we can go further. But we have a friend who's in the Anglican Church, and they have been working in Madagascar for a number of years in different tribes and locations. They showed the Jesus film during one of the latter showings that they had. You can picture a nighttime showing in the middle of a village where all you, the only light is stars, except for the screen that's being projected of this Jesus film. And so the light is attracting everybody to come to watch Jesus. And one man at the end of the showing, they give an opportunity to receive Jesus. He came forward, didn't ask to receive Jesus, but he had this withered hand and he asked for prayer. And then our friend started to pray, and before their eyes, his hand went from the shriveled up. It wasn't like he was clenching it. It was truly a shriveled up hand. And they could see his hand start to expand and become healed. They prayed more and it would happen more. And then they prayed again. And finally, the entire hand went from a shriveled, emaciated hand to a full, to what a normal hand would look like. This guy was so surprised, and everyone else was too, that the Lord had healed him, that he took off running into the darkness. He came back the next day. But I love that, because when you share Jesus, truly the unexpected happens because, you know, the Holy Spirit's at work. He's doing something that is incredible. And our job as people he's commissioned is to lift him up and see what happens.
Amen.
We have a team that's working on direct ministry in the digital world. This is from a couple months ago, but we heard a follow-up story last year during Ramadan. It's Ramadan right now, and this is one of the first days of Ramadan. Our digital team, through a series of ads, connects with people who are, you know, curious about Jesus from the Muslim tradition. And one guy began his journey in responding to ads. And what usually happens is that we enter into conversations, show the Jesus film or some other of our Jesus-centered movies, and to help kind of really crystallize what the gospel is. And through a process, he gave his life to Jesus, and he told his personal story that he, for years, has been dealing with the grief and the loneliness of the reality that he is the only survivor of his family's massacre that happened years ago. And he's been struggling ever since with, why am I here? And he didn't really have a great answer, even though he found peace in Jesus, he didn't really have a full answer for why all that happened. Fast forward a few months, and October 7th happened in Israel, Palestine. He's a Palestinian, and he realized that God had put him in, you know, the course of human history so that he could share that story with people from in his family. And he's led two people of his cousins to the Lord as a result. And I just think that's amazing. It's an individual story. It's not a, you know, a mass showing where thousands of people are coming to Jesus and a revival is breaking out. It's this one faithful testimony that because the Lord is so interested in each one of us, and he cares for each and every single one of us. He's like the one sheep out of the 99, and he pursued this man. And we get to be a part of that in a small way, but he transformed that guy into a missionary over the course of a couple months, from, you know, rescuing him from death into literal life.
Mm. I love that. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's kind of, that's the way the kingdom expands, the way the kingdom grows, is kind of one person at a time, one person at a time. And yeah, I love hearing stories like that.
If you are weighing the call to ministry, the question you should be asking is not where will I prepare, but what faculty will I study with? When you choose a seminary, you choose a faculty. At Southern Seminary, you will study with our faculty of authors and scholars who are also faithful pastors and church leaders. I want to invite you to come and meet our faculty by joining us on campus for Preview Day on April 12th and see why Southern Seminary is the place to prepare for a lifetime of faithfulness. To register, visit sbts.edu/preview.
Josh, I want to shift gears to kind of more some lightning round questions. Favorite missionary biography?
Oh, man. So I liked Bonhoeffer. I read that and was captured by his story. Recently, I've read a book called A Martyr's Grace, which is a compendium of martyrs who are from the Moody School. And that's been fascinating as a jumping off point to learn more of their individual stories, people that we normally don't run across, the Bonhoeffer stories and Wilberforces and others we know, you know, more brightly, but these little stories are equally powerful.
Yeah. The next question is a fill in the blank question. Fill in the blank however you'd like. The greatest challenge facing the Jesus film today is blank.
Oh yeah. Lifting up Jesus to everyone everywhere. And there are still places right now where billions of people haven't heard of Jesus. And that's not just a Jesus film project problem. That's something that we get to be a part of with others, but it's a big challenge.
That's right. All right. Somebody's listening. This last question. Somebody's listening to this podcast interview and they say, okay, I want to get my hands on this film. I want to watch it. I want to use it in ministry. I want to, you know, pass it on to a missionary here or there around the world. What are their first steps? What advice would you give them to be able to access and then utilize this film, this resource?
Yeah. I mean, you can download the Jesus Film app on your Android or iOS device and have access to 2,146 languages as of today in your pocket, as well as hundreds of other Jesus-centered movies. And you can witness the Uber drivers as easily as you can go to, you know, the bush in Madagascar. So everything in between is what our desire is to equip folks with. So go to the Jesus Film website and download it, or you can go on the app stores as well.
Josh, thank you so much for your time and for the conversation today.
Yeah, you too, Paul. Good connecting.
To hear more conversations like this, please subscribe to this podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. Thanks again for listening to this episode.
Amazon to the Himalayas is brought to you by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. At Southern Seminary, we're preparing the next wave of missionaries, church planters, Bible translators, and more for a lifetime of faithfulness to the Great Commission. To learn more about how Southern Seminary can prepare you to take the gospel from the Amazon to the Himalayas, visit sbts.edu. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.